Lord, may we hear your voice and know the welcome that you offer us in Jesus' name. Amen. The gospel has always been something scandalous. Not because of who it keeps out, but because of who it lets in. Inclusion was a gospel imperative long before our world discovered its importance. So over the next couple of weeks, I'd like to explore how inclusion figures in the work of God's kingdom by exploring the book of Acts. As we read through the book of Acts, we discover that no sooner do the disciples think they've got it sorted about who's in and who's out, that God draws wide the tent ever broader and ever wider. The seed that gets planted among the 12 disciples becomes this great harvest. And it's important for us to see the nature of this harvest, how wide and how broad and how deep God's kingdom is, because it is something that's never predicated upon our ability or our goodness, nor is it dependent upon our biology or our heritage. We belong to God's kingdom because of what God has done for us. And because of what God is doing, we are called not to be bystanders, but full participants in God's saving work. So perhaps the place for us to start this morning is by considering the reality of exclusion. I wonder if you've ever had an experience of exclusion. For some, we have this experience when we go on holiday. Perhaps it happens when it seems like everything suddenly stops and someone either laughs at us or yells at us for something that's just inexplicable to us. This happened to myself and my family one year when we were in France. We were in a bakery buying some bread, and all of a sudden, the shopkeeper starts yelling at us at the top of her lungs. Not knowing a word of French, we realized something was up, but we had no idea what the problem was. It wasn't until some days later that a friend explained to us that the coinage that we were using was counterfeit. And this was unknown to us. And so her reaction and her desire to chase us out was because of these coins that we were using. Coins that were in very wide circulation, as we discovered. Others have an experience of exclusion at school or at work or even at home. Exclusion is that feeling of you just don't belong. It might be because of the way you look, the way you dress, or even the way you see things. Instead of feeling safe, exclusion makes us feel afraid. Instead of being able to rest, exclusion makes us tense because we were always looking out for threats. Instead of being able to be our true selves, exclusion tells us that we are just not good enough. Exclusion just isn't about not being able to enter a space that we want. It's that gnawing sense that even if we got in, that we'd be asked to leave simply because of who we are. You'd think that if anyone was going to be excluded from God's kingdom, it would be the 12 disciples. Just consider it. When Jesus was arrested, who ran away? When Jesus was put on trial, who was trying to save their own skins? When Jesus was crucified, who failed to show up? The disciples were anything but people who were brave and strong, courageous or determined. They felt far from God, but it was God who drew near to them. God came near to them, not because they were powerful, but when they were the weakest and most powerless. When Jesus appeared among them, they were startled and afraid, because what filled them was not courage, but fear and doubt. The reason they're afraid is quite simple. In the ancient world, no one ever wanted to see a ghost. Ghosts were always signs of doom and destruction. To see a ghost would mean that your life would soon be over. Yet what they hear from this person that they see is not an angry ghost who is disappointed with them, but Jesus, whose generosity and kindness lets them know that they belong to God's kingdom. Jesus works hard to show how they belonged to him. To their fearful hearts, he spoke words of peace. To reassure them, he invites them to touch his wounds. To comfort them, he eats with them. These disciples are not excluded because of their doubt and their fear. God's kingdom is broad enough to welcome them in. They are not the only ones who are surprised to find themselves belonging to God. The book of Acts opens with a story about a healing, a story which opens the kingdom still further. Today's reading from Acts 3 is focused on Peter's speech, but it's important to remember the person who clings to Peter and to John in the portico of the temple when he makes this speech. This is a person who knows all about exclusion. This person was born lame. Chapter 3 tells us how he would always be carried to the temple gates. The temple was always meant to be a place of healing and renewal. It was a space where God's presence dwelt. But for so many, it just didn't work this way. Like rings on a tree, people believed that the closer you got to God, the purer you needed to be. Only one person in the nation ever got up close to God, the high priest. A little bit further out were the other priests, who got close, but not too close. Beyond them were Jewish men, and then Jewish women, and then the Gentiles, each of whom were a little further away, because each had less purity than the other. So what we find here is a man sitting at the gate, close enough to make some money by those going in, but too far away to experience God's goodness. So what happened next was a surprise to everyone. This man asks Peter and John for some change, but of course they are both skinned. So instead of giving him some money, they heal him instead. Unable to draw near to God, God draws near to him. This Jesus of Nazareth restores him to life. God's purity is not threatened by this man, and all the people are amazed. What we see in these two stories is that God's kingdom is strong enough to contain people who are weak in heart and in body. God's kingdom is big enough to draw in the people who run away or who just can't walk for themselves. How is this possible, we might ask? Our entry into God's kingdom is never predicated on our strength, the strength of our character, or our intellectual aptitude. Nor is it ever determined by our physical prowess. It is always grounded in God's work. It is Jesus who speaks peace to the disciples' fear. It is Jesus who opens their mind to understand what's written in the scripture. It is the risen one who brings healing to the man waiting on God's doorstep. What the disciples heard that night and what the people saw in the temple that day is that the reign of God has drawn near. The long night of disappointment and frustration is ending. That all the power of violence and the weapons of death have been overcome. That God's welcome and peace is offered, not because of how strong we are, but because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. It is the risen one who brings freedom and forgiveness, who enables anyone and everyone to find release and new life and fresh possibilities in what God has done. The truth is, we can find freedom in God because God's love always comes first. This love could not be destroyed by violence, nor could it be contained by the grave. It's so easy for us to mishear Peter's speech as though it is simply a long list of bitter accusations, a recitation of all their faults and failings. But I don't think that's the only way to hear it. It could also be heard as an accounting of all the obstacles that God's love has overcome, as an invitation for the people to step into God's kingdom rather than remaining outside, waiting upon the doorstep. From this perspective, Peter might be heard as saying, "Well, you thought someone as bad as Pilate could stop this Jesus? Did you think that wanting a murderer would ever divert God's plan? You thought that killing Jesus could end God's love? Is God's love ever stopped by human failure? Can God break through the strongest barriers of ignorance and religious blindness?" The good news of God's kingdom is that God overcomes and works through our fear and our doubt. Neither is God put off by our lack of physical prowess or ability. And God is never deterred by our ignorance or lack of understanding. God always opens our ears by opening our hearts first. God always finds a way of working through any difficulty. God always finds a way of working around any obstacle. God always shows up in unexpected ways to plant the seeds of faith. And so forgiveness is never conditional upon our repentance. God is not some divine accountant fixated on some heavenly ledger where all our sins are tallied in one column and all our efforts at repentance are listed in the other. Forgiveness is always offered up front. What matters is whether we are prepared to change our minds, our hearts, the way we see things, to move from a life based on fear towards one grounded in God's love. "You are to be my witnesses," Jesus said to those fearful disciples. They were called not to be bystanders who watch God change the world from a distance, but they were called to be participants who declared and demonstrated the radical, inclusive, and life-changing love of God, so that all those who are afraid and broken and ignorant or just stuck on God's doorway could come into God's kingdom. So coming into God's kingdom is never a matter of having the right kind of heritage or ability or biology. Because no one with the wrong kind is ever excluded either. Our place in God's kingdom does not depend upon our bravery, our capacity for exegetical wizardry, our physical ability, or even our insightfulness. It is always and only grounded in what Christ has done for us. So whatever you do this day, don't stay waiting on the doorstep thinking that God doesn't want you, that you can't come in. Don't worry that you'll ever be asked to leave because of who you are. Christ died for us all so that we might be raised up to be God's family, a people whose openness and generosity mirrors God's character, so that all might find their peace and rest in God's broad and inclusive kingdom. Amen.